Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. And boy, are we going to rejoice tonight as we recap that 4-0 victory, that 4-0 thrashing in the Clásico Nacional against Chivas. Who could have thought it? Not us, because we were all expecting a very, very tight game. And, well, I guess we all got exactly what we were hoping for deep down inside. And then we're going to get you guys ready ahead of the game against Querétaro, which is tomorrow, right? Doble jornada for América, making up for that second game that was postponed due to the terrible pitch conditions in Querétaro. But joining me today, we have quite a full roster. Let me introduce them one by one. It is none other than Christian Rosendo himself. Christian, how are we?
Doing good, Ivan. I'm doing good. I hope all three of you are doing well. Definitely not the game we expected, but of course, as an America fan, there's always little things we can nitpick at. So I'm sure we'll get into those. But overall, I'm sure everyone was very excited after the final whistle.
Definitely, it was one of those games where you kind of walk away satisfied. But like you mentioned, you know, if we like being nitpicky
it's
here,
just, so it's our DNA. I feel like at this point. That we can never be satisfied. Even if we win 10-0, there was still something wrong with the game, though. 1,000%.
Yeah, it should. Well, we have like, it was 10, but it should have been 12 type of
situation. It should have been 12, yeah.
Yeah. But alrighty, then going down the line here is none other than AJ himself. AJ, glad to have you back. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. It was a very good weekend for me in terms of America. Both won both Clásico Nacionales, so always good to hear.
It was looking a little bit worrisome for the ladies down there on Sunday, but pulled it back.
Exactly.
I like it. And what a way to win it too, right? Close to the end, the 89th minute header. Wonderful goal, by the way. So yeah, awesome. Glad to hear that your weekend went well. And then, of course, my neighbor in crime. Here we go, Chris Rivera. Chris, talk to us. How was your weekend?
I mean, it would have been perfect if the Raiders, you know, didn't disappoint me. But I think people are going to be used to me hearing that on this after every game. But when it comes to America, I mean, what else can I ask for? I know we're saying that we're going to probably nitpick some stuff, you know, but I think that was probably the best game under Jardine. And that's just based on how it ended, you know, like, people will say the St. Louis game, but I feel the St. Louis game could have been a lot better. And then this one, well, with the way things were going, I'm very satisfied.
I think there's a lot of correlations between the St. Louis game and this game that you can kind of find, you know, parallel narratives. I think both games ended in a thrashing, but they also could have ended into a bigger thrashing. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. My whole family was rooting for that fifth goal. Now, a lot of us probably wouldn't think too much of it. And it wasn't because they wanted to America to keep scoring. It was because Chivas had humiliated us 5-0 back in 1993, I believe, is what they were talking about. So they always have that in the back of the mind that Chivas humiliated us, winning us 5-0. So obviously, they were all cheering for that fifth goal, right? It was important to them to see America beat Chivas 5-0 so they can kind of get that little sting taken off of their backs, which I thought was kind of interesting. I thought, well, you know what? This is something that we can definitely talk about on the podcast. And unfortunately, the fifth goal did not come through, but it should have. Not just the fifth, the sixth, the seventh goal. I think we were very much careless in front of goal in some place. Some decision making was definitely questionable, especially on like a 3v1 situation, which again, those things are stuff that, you know, maybe in the situation you're up for nothing, but still you got to put those chances away. But overall, most importantly, I think all of us can safely say we did not expect in America to go out and win 4-0, but I think all of us are more than happy with the result.
I mean, I predicted 4 goals from us. I just didn't think we were going to keep the 0 like we did. I think we should start there, though. I think that's just with the makeshift defense that we kind of went into this game, it just seemed very unlikely for us to kind of hang that 0 on the scoreboard. And listen, big time Kevin Alvarez, big time Luis Fuentes, big time Ramon Juarez, and big time Igor Lichnowsky coming in clutch. You know, it's like I said, it's just a when you look at the line, you're like, wow, you know, we're definitely going to see one or two you know, slide in tonight. But you know, great game from all four of them on Saturday night.
And you know what? And do I dare say that we have finally found our defense? Like the defense that we've been looking for. I know it's a lot. It's a lot to take away from one game. And the argument could be made, how much can you take away from a Clásico like this? Or a game is mostly played through emotions rather than actual kind of, you know, your game-to-game situation like you do in the league. Because I don't know about you guys, but this game felt a lot more different than just like your average or typical Saturday night game. It felt like it was there was something to play for here for both sides. And so I think America definitely went out there and performed. And you saw the likes of Ramon Juarez. He was up for it. I mean, the Canterano showed out. I thought he had an amazing game. Igor, all of us were more than skeptical with him coming in. And even more so whenever Sebastián Cáceres was announced that he was injured, right? So it was like hours before the game that America posted out the tweet saying he's officially like injured and will be out for like a couple of weeks. And so now you thought, well, great. And it's Igor or Lara with Ramon Juarez. And I just got to say, Igor showed out, balled out. I mean, the play he did to set up that third goal, unbelievable.
Nice. It was nice. And what I like about this game also, it also proves that we're not just four dudes that just come on this and just talk nonsense. Like, we actually kind of understand a little bit what was going on, right? So we called that Igor had a good percentage in aerial duels. And he was perfect on the night and on those. And I think that helped us a lot. For once, it felt like as the game was growing in, I wasn't really that afraid of any free kick that she was going to put in or any corner kick that we conceded. I actually thought that we were secure back there. And it was all thanks to him winning those duels earlier in the game that made me feel, okay, so he knows positioning. He got the aerial duels down. Okay, this is something we needed and desperately. So, like you said, going forward and with all the injuries, I think we're going to see this pairing for a couple more matches to see if it really gels. And hopefully it wasn't just a one-time fluke. But first good impression, though, I believe, all of
them. Yeah, no, I think that's the important thing about it is making sure that they follow up that performance against Querétaro, which I think is going to be the difficult thing about it. But you kind of have to ride the high. And I know it seems a bit of a stretch, but you kind of have to ride it out through the end of the season, right? Make this be the catalyst of your season. Just kind of build up on this because, like you said, the tougher teams are coming. Your Tigres, your Monterreys, your Tolucas, this weekend as well. So it's going to be interesting. Jason putting out here, now that we're praising the fans, let's show some praise to Luis Fuentes, 37-year-old playing like a 25-year-old. God. Good old 2000s Honda Civic with 200-plus miles. So reliable. I will say this, Luis Fuentes definitely showcased out. I think he learned from his previous mistakes where he was getting completely taken care of, like on that left hand side, and I think his positioning was a lot better. So yeah, shout out to Jason there for the comment. I think he's right, no, Chris? I mean, as reliable as it can get.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing is that everyone helped each other out. It wasn't just like, I don't think there was a moment in the game where I thought someone would be vulnerable by themselves or anything. Ramon Juarez, like one thing I noticed about Ramon. You know, talking about positioning, when we were playing him, when he first debuted, he would always be caught off guard, you know, and it's normal, right? They're young, they don't have that experience. But now it's like he's always there, ready to mark, and everyone was just helping each other out. Like, it was just very good defending, and hopefully it's just not a one game thing, right? Hopefully it's every game we start seeing this, because if it's just one thing, or just one game, then maybe it's more of a Chivas problem than our solution. But time will tell, and, you know, everyone just did their job on Saturday.
And you know, the interesting thing about this, AJ, you look at this team and you look at the players that were that came in as well, right? A very stacked bench, by the way. I mean, we had the luxury of keeping Henry Martin at bay, which I think was a little bit misfortunate, but it was due to that Ramon Juarez, I don't want to say injury. I think he just kind of ran through his legs a little bit sooner than expected. But I mean, it shows that this talent, at least from the midfield going forward, there's, you know, there's players to come in and out.
Of course. They get themselves subbed in. They just already know what to do from the get-go. They just keep the game going. They knew that we still had a big advantage goal, but they want to keep the goals coming. Might not be able to score more than just four goals. They always had that in the back of their head, like, what can we do to create ourselves another good opportunity for us to get an at goal, which was very nice. You've seen, like, in the last couple of plays, we were making, like, the late substitution. Players were still pushing in to get themselves the goal. They never stopped. They didn't want to sit back, which I feel like wasn't the game plan at all. Like I said, we even mentioned the last pass where we don't feel like Jadinia should wait for that team, for Chivas to come approach. That's not the way. We got to bring the game to Chivas, and that's what the players did. Every single one with the ball that they had on the feet, they wanted to just keep moving that ball forward, see the opportunities that they can create and get themselves in those good goal scoring positions. So the starting 11 and the bench players, they knew what the objective was, what they were supposed to do in the game, which was to go out and win, score goals, and show how that they were the better team that night. And they that right to all the Americanistas and to Chivas that they're the better team.
Hands down, by miles. But I will say this, it did not come easily. I mean, the first opening minutes, Chivas brought the game to us. And I think we were messaging in the chat. I was like, why are we playing kickball? And it took a minute, Christian, for us to settle down and get the ball going.
You're perfect. I think those first 10 minutes, you got to give it to them. I think they came out with the right intention, just nothing was executed on their part, right? And then after we just took control of the game, which is something we alluded to in last podcast too, we wanted to see the team, once they got control, don't let go of it. And I think they did a good job for 80 plus minutes. And you know, it's something that we want to see this team keep doing, growing into that kind of, I guess, character in the game. Just be the protagonist, just always have the control of the ball, dictate the play. And I think that once we did that, they had no answer for anything that we were throwing.
No, absolutely. No answer whatsoever. And I think that was the important part. You're right. At the end of the day, you kind of lose sight of the little things that you kind of nitpick. Those 10 minutes, absolutely crucial. And I don't think the pitch helped that much either. I mean, it poured, it rained, like it was terrible. I've never seen an Azteca that flooded ever. I mean, it's been years since I've seen anything like that.
That first play where I forget, it was Quiñones and someone else. I forgot who it was.
Also.
Yeah. Dude, they were like they're about to go swimming, both of them.
Yeah, literally. They
it
were.
Was bad. It was bad. And I thought, wow, if this game's going to be like this, this is going to be an off game to watch. But thankfully, you know, it turned out to be, you know, it was actually pretty fair. I think the ball didn't cause much problem. I think the pitch as the game went on, I think kind of let itself, you know, play be a little bit more playable. So at least that was good for the players, obviously, and for us as the spectators.
Definitely, Chris. It was raging waters out there. We saw everyone slipping and sliding. But, I mean, ultimately, what is your key takeaway from this game, besides the fact that we kind of secured it at the back?
I think it was that, you know. I think I can't get away from the fact that we were in the back. Because I think, I don't remember everyone's prediction, but I think everyone had us, like, keep one goal, right? And I think we became very comfortable just saying, like, oh, we're going to get scored on because the defense isn't good. But we didn't. We got a clean sheet. And then it was a very good clean sheet. It wasn't like a fluky clean sheet where you're just like, all the goalkeepers saved a majority of the shots. No, it was they didn't really, like, get approaches that much. No, it was just a very good defensive game. And I think it just has to continue, like, and I'm very optimistic we can get like this. Obviously, I know we're praising Luis Fuentes, but it's just, I can't avoid his age and how slow he can. I can't avoid that. But other than that, like, it's a very promising, like, if they were to sign Igor and he has, like, in the end of the season, I don't think many people complain if the performances are exactly the way it was that.
Yeah, and I think that's the important part, right? The if. That he has to continuously showcase that. And look, he has a great opportunity, right? Nestor Araujo confirmed out for the rest of the season. That's one less player in the pecking order. So it's going to be interesting to see how Igor takes these opportunities. Like, we saw a great game, right? A great game against Chivas. Follow that up with Querétaro and specifically against Toluca. I think that's going to be the biggest test for all of these players again. And you guys mentioned it, right? It was a great clean sheet. I think everyone did their job. Malagón maybe had one really good save that he had to make, and he made it. So overall, I think, you know, I don't want to say 10s for all the defenders, but definitely high 8 for most of these guys, because it was, it was a very good game, and I don't think we've had a good defensive game in, boy, God knows how long. Yeah, so Yeah. And you know what the interesting thing is, that when you compare the St. Louis game and the Chivas game, the difference is, I think Chivas did more than St. Louis. So if anything, I think Chris is right. This is probably the best game that America has had under Jardine because of the rival, because of the situation. And because I think against St. Louis, you know, they didn't really put their hand in the fire. They kind of were just like, yeah, we'll see if anything happens. Nothing happened for them, and so be it. But Chivas, you know, at least they had those first 10 minutes, and, you know, they were chipping away a little here and there, but we contained them. And I think, for the most part, important. Now, you guys mentioned it, AJ specifically, saying that it was important that this team did not sit back and continued attacking. And I think that's something that we saw from the get-go, right? We opened the scoreline, and then boom, again, we kept going for it, and we saw these chances being created. And I saw a couple of times throughout the game, I think when we were 2-0 up, America maybe took their foot off the gas pedal just a little bit, but remained with possession of the ball. And this is exactly what I mentioned, right? I don't want to see us defend with the player, with all 11 players behind the ball. I want us to be the protagonist and have them chase us. And I think it paid dividends, you know? I don't know what you would think, AJ.
No, completely agree. Because I think it was like the open like 2 minutes, she just got a goal. Thankfully, it was ruled offside, but then it was like already the back of how it was like, let's not start this again, because it was a 2-0 lead. It's the most misleading lead in all of football. So when I saw that Chivas score, I was like, don't tell me like the defense is just going to then start breaking out completely. Or he's like, all right, let's sit back. No, thankfully, when the goal was ruled offside, I think that was also just a wake up for the defense. Like, hey, get it together. We got another 45 minutes to play. Let's continue how good we were doing in that first half and, you know, keep the defense intact, which thankfully that's what they've been doing. They were getting a lot of shots in that too, but they were all off target. Our goalie really didn't do much because our defense was on point. They were keeping most of the players contained. The only one that was maybe causing a little bit of problems was Piojo Alvarado, but he was the only dangerous player from that Chivas side on their side of the attack. So all in all, with Medica, they did a really good job. They just kept themselves all intact. They helped one another out. If someone was out of position, another player will come step in to help that player out so they can get themselves in the better position to go defend. So all for America on that night, just a really good job for them in both halves. They didn't take their foot off the pedal, maybe for like the first like open like couple of minutes in that second half, but then they got right back in.
Oh, yeah. I agree to that. I think it was impressive to say the least. Where do we go from here? I think it's interesting to note that we all had a player to highlight, but before we get into that and whether or not they performed to their standards, who do you guys think deserves man of the match? Because a lot of people would argue that it was Diego Valdez, but I personally am going to say that it was Brian Rodriguez.
I can see why you think it's Brian Rodriguez, but I think that without Diego Valdez on that pitch, I don't know if he put up a performance like that. I just thought that number 10 was on it, was on fire like, from minute one. So, I don't know. I mean, but I do understand why, because Brian had a great game. And the point I was going to make earlier when you guys said that it didn't seem like, we stopped going forward, and it was mainly due to him, because the plays were going right through him, and he was just the one taking on defenders left and right and creating space, creating chances. So I think a big chunk of this victory is because of Brian Rodriguez and his style of play. And finally, we're seeing him start to wake up and kind of show his best version. So that's good for us and good for him.
No, yeah, of course. I mean, I told you guys days like this would come. You just had to give him a little bit more chances, a little bit more faith. But his decision making still needs a little bit more refining. There's a couple of opportunities that I think if he passes it a different way, things would have been differently. So, no, but you're, I mean, absolutely right. I don't want to discredit anything that Diego Valdez said. Christian, you mentioned it, right? Number 10 was going to be crucial, detrimental to this America side for a victory, and definitely showed out. And Chris, I saw someone on Twitter say that we haven't had that good of a number 10 in America since Cuauhtémoc Blanco. Is that fair?
I would agree. He's talking about the position, not who wears. Because I saw the comment. I saw the picture first, or the tweet. And I'm like, well, there's Cabañas. But he said, well, the person playing the position. I mean, let's talk about it. Who were 10? Montenegro, right? That's the first one after Cuauhtémoc.
After Cabañas.
Cecilio.
No, not who wore the 10, who played the 10.
Did Reynoso play the 10?
No, after Cuauhtémoc.
Oh.
After Cuauhtémoc. And Reynoso was an 8. He was,
So it was, remind me, Taco played, well, I don't know, that was before.
No, that was before. So number 10s would be Rolfi, Osvaldito played there for a little bit.
Look at Sambuesa as a 10?
No.
He was more
wide.
Yeah, he was more to the left.
Because I mean, if that's true, I mean, if that's really Córdoba.
I mean, he said Córdoba.
I can go off, bro.
And like, I can tell you 14 reasons as to why he doesn't make the pecking order. But
yeah, it's Diego Valdez. I mean, if you look at it from this step, really is. Because I wasn't a fan of him. I don't know how you guys thought about him, but I was not.
That's Dylan Zito.
I think you could also make a case. I'm not saying I agree with the statement, but I think you could also make a case that he is probably the best 10 since Cuauhtémoc Blanco, the one to wear number 10.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't take into consideration the Cabañas thing,
I think Osvaldito still ahead. Even though it wasn't
really
one title.
That's a debate.
He won title.
But you know what? I think Dylan might be on your side on this one, Chris. I think Dylan definitely would be on that side.
If I'm being honest with you, I wasn't a fan of Osvaldo. But let's be honest. He won titles and he wasn't like a liability or anything. It was like he did it. It's like he said, Dylan says, right? Comes in, clocks in, does his job and gets out. That's what Osvaldito was too.
Now, when Osvaldito had a PK, I knew the net was breaking up after he shot.
Mm-hmm.
He had no accuracy, no to just shoot the ball and it's gonna
just
go
power.
In. I don't care.
Just like Cuauhtémoc. If we're being honest, it's just like
Cuauhtémoc. No, Cuauhtémoc had Cuauhtémoc definitely knew where he was gonna place the ball.
There was a time where he would just blast it. There was a time where he would just blast it.
Go. What about his PK against France in the World Cup? Go look at that one.
That's placement at its finest.
Right there.
Well, later in his career, he did blast it a lot, which I'm not complaining. He would blast.
I don't know, but there's only certain players in my lifetime that I have been able to be comfortable with them taking a penalty and knowing that they're going to come in.
That's so fun that we're on this topic, because that second Diego Valdez goal reminds me of that Cuauhtémoc goal against Cruz Azul.
Oh, yeah. I saw there was a couple people tweeting that, yeah.
It's not exactly the same. I think Cuauhtémoc is still better. It's just like the form and like the way the ball was placed that instantly brought memories. I was like, oh, shit, that's
an interesting one. I would argue that maybe Diego Valdez's was a little bit more difficult with all the bodies and all the little space that he had. But Cuauhtémoc Blanco's is up there as well.
I wish we could have like videos on this so we could play them both side by side.
Yeah, just side by side. That'd be interesting. We'll put it on TikTok and people will be able to tell us in the comment section which one they think was better, Cuauhtémoc's or Diego Valdez's. But overall, I think that the Chilean is coming to
back to life.
That point, yeah, back to life and to that point where, okay, he is detrimental and he is important, right? And then we kind of knew this from the get-go, especially in the League Cup. We missed him, 100% missed him. Leo Suarez, as great of a player as he is, struggled in that number 10 spot. And really, no one else is going to be capable of doing that but Diego Valdez. So it was good. It's good seeing him back in that role, in that form. And well, now he has Igor to kind of, you know, Chilean with Chilean right there. Interesting. But overall, I mean, once that third goal goes in, you're thinking to yourself, what can we do now, right? Like, you just felt on top of the world. Then that fourth goal comes in and you're thinking to yourself, well, this is another Cruz Azul waiting to happen.
I wish.
And then, no, yeah, of course, of course. And then I think, unfortunately, because of the circumstances of the match, like we mentioned, right, if Ramon Juarez doesn't need the substitution, we see a Henry. And I think we see maybe at least another goal, I want to say. I had a feeling that if Henry was to go in, I had a feeling he was going to score.
I think if Henry was a player instead of Cabecita on that 1v1, I think he would have made that.
Yeah, I think he slots at home too. And man, the Cabecita thing frustrates me because it's like, it's a 1v1 situation. Like you have to put that into the back of the net.
That's just lack of playing time, lack of confidence at that.
100%. Like,
exactly what
let's
that was.
Put it this way. That miss basically cemented Brian Rodriguez's spot in the starting 11 for at least like another week and a half.
A couple more matches. For sure.
Yeah, 100%. So,
but you know what's frustrating? I think I see Cabecita a lot tomorrow night. I think tomorrow's like a game where you would put in Cabecita for like 40 minutes in the second.
Interesting. Oh, well, you know, depending on how the game's going. Depending on how the game's going, of course. And we'll get to that in a moment. But yeah, it's interesting. Zendejas coming in, scoring a goal, like we mentioned.
Good for him.
Yeah. He was on that stupid little podcast that they were doing to hype up the Clásico, Nene Beltrán. And so I know he was getting a lot of trash talk.
It was Chava.
Chava Reyes. Yeah. Who would have thought that?
Not me. Oh, man. But I think for the most part, everyone showed out. If there's one player, and then like, this is just me being pessimistic here. If there's one player you had to be nitpicky about that you were like, probably could have, should have done better, who are you picking? Wow.
We just stayed at the same time.
All of us.
Yeah, I think that was
not going to be my player.
I honestly thought he wasn't really that much of an offensive threat. I think that if you were going to get any Chiva defender scared, it was if Brian had the ball. I think everything was just going mm-hmm. through him. I think he was the most dangerous. I think that once he had the ball, I think that's when they were like, oh, like we got to focus up. But when Quiñones had it, it was like, okay, you know, we know what we can do. But it was mainly just to pass the ball out to the wing and then he was going to wait for a cross.
Yeah, he's
which
the
obviously not really his game, but that's what he's been kind of tasked to do in these matches. So I understand. But hopefully we get to see Quiñones shine a little bit more in the next couple of games now that he's back. But I think Quiñones could have done a little bit more.
You know what? For the first time, I wasn't nitpicky on him because I was actually seeing him perform the role, right? And like, I was seeing him shield the ball, kind of play with his back to goal, having the players play off of him, which is why it worked beautifully on Saturday, the attack. Because in other times, it was, he wanted the ball and started just running down the field. And it was like, chuck it to him. And it was like, this is not going to work. This is not our football. And so I was okay with his performance. I thought it was funny with the shot that he took that they all automatically thought it was going to go in. So they put the fireworks. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, no, I think the one player, and Christian, don't get mad here, the one player that I thought should have done better was Fidalgo. Only because I think he maybe lost possession 3-4 times in our own half. It didn't come up to nothing because, again, defense, rock solid. It's just moments and instances where I think the semifinal game is still kind of in his head, you know? And
there was definitely a couple of plays where I think he fouled someone and he lost the ball on one. Mm-hmm. He misplaced a pass on one. All within like an hour and a half near the half line. But yeah, I would agree with that. I think that pretty good and a bit better. I think Jonathan Dos Santos, though, was amazing.
Absolutely cementing himself in that sense. And then that's why when you guys were giving, when you gave your predicting start 11, I thought it was a little bit ludicrous to leave him out because he is such an anchor for this team. But
then
Richard
came in and then it was like...
But I think at that point, the game's a little bit lopsided, right? It's a little easier for Richard to dominate that game.
Brilliant on what's his name, Anguti.
Anguti, yeah, the little step back. Oh, amazing. No, I agree. I think that, you know, there's Jonathan 100%. Look, he is the highest paid player in America right now, right? So he's kind of playing like it. So, I mean, I'm okay with it. I like his performance. He's somehow maybe found some second win here, AJ, in his career. And, you know, a lot of us were not happy that he signed on. We all thought we were going to get rid of him after the end of the last season. Now he's our captain. Look at that.
Proving it. Guess he wants to put the American Eagle wrong. Give him a second chance and make the most out of it, which, you know, good on him. I can't even be mad. Like, if he was going to leave, then I was like, okay, good, nice. But then he's staying. If he's performing like this, I'm like, I mean, hey, I'm not complaining. Be our captain all you want. If you can perform like that day in, day out, I'm fine with that.
100%. 100%. Ricardo out here saying America is unstoppable as long as those bums are Araujo, Layun, and Lara are not on the pitch. Although Lara was on the pitch. So maybe Lara's proven to You're be part okay. of that. Yeah, I think we're still okay with him. And then he goes, Malagón is such a breath of fresh air, unlike La Coladera Ochoa. I think Ricardo just comes on here to troll me. He knows that's my soft spot, my weak spot right there. But he says, Jogo Bonito equals America. And I think, you know, we're starting to see a little bit of it, right? That game that so much eluded us against St. Louis. Now we're finally getting to see a little bit more of it. But anything else you guys want to add on in besides this Clásico Nacional that we've talked about? We talked about, you know, what worked right, some of the things we didn't like, but overall, the good stuff. Anything else you guys want to add? Chris, AJ, Christian, anything?
I'll just add in. We definitely could have really scored more, but like, I'll understand how we had a 4-1 and we somehow did not score that. That, like, scratched my head. I'm like, should I think about. Unfortunately, it was my boy Little Swaz that like messed it up too, and I was just like, "Come on, I had to do like the extra pass, and he probably might have scored."
I actually think that it was Brian Rodriguez's fault because he should have passed it to Diego Valdez on the other side, and he could have squared it for either Leo or Quiñones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that, and it just like obviously the one, but I mean, like that was kind of just unfortunate. Like Chris shows the lack of like a playing time and all that. So I was like, "All right, that's fine." But it's one of those things like, "Damn, I wish that would have went." Because at that point, like definitely deleted. Give us that point, but
I really wish that fifth goal came.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. I know I was like,
oh, my dad and all my uncles were too.
I was blue bottle on that fifth goal. Oh, damn.
And the other thing, Vega couldn't handle Vega. The fact he had to get subbed out the half. I was like, Bonovic, it's like, wow, you took out arguably like you're one of your best offensive threats. Like, yeah, he just could not do anything. So for that to happen, I was like, I think that was a wrap at that point. Me and my friends, like, I think that's game. If we were being cocky enough, I was like, that's game.
If he can't do it on a rainy night at the Azteca, what makes him think that he can do it on a rainy night at Stoke?
Hey, the funny thing is, I seen someone put, like, name all the America players that have scored a goal in a Clásico before, like, Azteca. And it was just a thread of, like, random players that have scored Clásico. And it's like him with zero goals, zero assists.
Yeah, I mean, he struggles against us. He definitely struggles against us. I mean, I think he lives off the highlight that he scored that goal against us in the semifinal.
That's what me and my dad were talking about. Is that he got big because of that one goal he got against, and then all the media was on.
Mm-hmm. And he's just been flat ever since.
If being
so. But Chris, were you gonna add anything else?
Oh no, I was actually gonna bring up that fake of Leo Suarez. Like I didn't remember who was the guy behind Leo Suarez. It was Cabecita?
Quiñones.
Quiñones.
Yeah. My dad was just like, This is what you need to give it sooner. Like that's the thing about Brian Rodriguez that I just don't like is decision making is always a little bit too late. And I think if he were to just be on time, he would have crazy amount of assists, you know, or goals, you know. And the fact that he's still having, like, I don't know. Let's talk. Who's our best player this year? Your guys' opinion.
Probably Diego Valdez right now.
I'd say it's a toss between him and Brian Rodriguez. If I want to be on, it's between those two.
That's what I think. And I think it's like really, really close. But even then, like you say, Diego Valdez is not bad. But the fact that we complain about Brian Rodriguez having those like late responses, and he's still like number two. You know, so
yeah,
very impressive.
No. No, of course. And like I said, look, like I am a Brian Rodriguez fan. Like I, you know, but I will sit here and say that he has not had his best moments with America. There's points in time where I think that decision making is going to cost us, and it has cost us goals. So I think it's one of those things that hopefully with more game time, it becomes a little bit more refined. You know, it's a lot different going from, you know, playing in the MLS and playing in Uruguay and then having to step up in the Estadio Azteca week in and week out. It's, you know, no easy task, but hey, kind of is what it is in that situation. But yeah, hey, I'm just happy that we're going to see a very well Brian Rodriguez and hopefully a very polished Brian Rodriguez by the start of the year. Because I think that's going to be detrimental. You know? It's going to be important. Terrificness saying, Chris, did you think Fidalgo showed up today? You mentioned last episode that he needs to prove himself again.
I had higher expectations. I'm not going to lie. I wanted him to have more of an impact, but I'm not complaining of his game either. I thought he had a very solid game. I just wish it was more aggressive, I guess, in the sense of assisting and all that, but I think that's just a game. It's just maybe his expectation is that he will never really reach. That's not his game, but solid in the day.
Joe, I think I remember. I don't know when it was a podcast we had. It was a while back. I think when you first originally got that number 8, because you know when he came in, he had Paulo Aguilar's number, right? The 22? Or was it 21? I can't remember. And then he got the 8, and then I've always made these outlandish comparisons, and I was like, "Is he gonna be the best number 8 that we've ever had? Like up there with Carlos Reynoso?" And now I'm just thinking about it, and I'm just like, "Wow, that was a bar maybe too high. Even I shouldn't have done that or spoke that into existence." But hey, Fidalgo, I think you know for everything that he's kind of had to overcome. Little by little, we're seeing the better of him. And I think the fact that he plays in this Clásico, America wins, the way that we win helps his mentality. And I think now we get to see a much better Fidalgo week in and week out. So I'm going with that one. Boy. But yeah, no, trust me, I like Fidalgo. I really do want him to succeed, you know, regardless of what Brian has to say.
Yeah. Get Brian out of here.
Shout out to Brian. But all right, I think that pretty much wraps it up for the Clásico Nacional. Now let's talk a little bit of team news. I already alluded to it. Nestor Araujo confirmed out for the rest of the season. Does that matter? Are we even...
Torn ACL?
I think so. And he has to go through some surgery and he's out for 7 months. So, I mean, you know, and to be honest, are we devastated or celebrating this?
I don't think we should be celebrating a player getting
not
injured.
Not in the sense that, yeah, well, of course.
I know what you mean.
Well, Crew Epicness is celebrating it with me.
The only thing is that I wanted him gone.
Yeah, and honestly, he should have been gone over the summer. I think that he just got too greedy, and that's why, you know, still here, but
yeah,
you know, hopefully he has a good recovery and his career can continue elsewhere, just not here.
Go back. You know what the worst thing about it is?
No?
Yeah, no, but the worst thing about this is that you're not even going to play him, and then he's still eating up that salary. And that is what frustrates me. Jesus. Rick, actually, Mr. the Jersey man himself, saying, been listening, just reminding everyone that Ivan and I were the only ones on the Brianetta. We still got seats available. There's time to join us before the year. Yeah, he's right. So I'll hop aboard on the Brianetta, you know? It's going to be a fun ride. And I mean, I see on my timeline on Twitter is him with bringing that ball down, which is like a feather. And then taking on also, like with that feint, absolutely amazing. That's all I've been seeing on my timeline. And I think it is one of the plays of the game.
I think it just shows you the level that he's at right now, the confidence.
Yeah, that's 100% confidence right there.
Literally.
100%.
You're peaking at the same time that your competition is back. It's like, you can't let this go now. It's up to you. 100%. It's yours to lose, basically, at this point.
100%. Imagine coming into the next international break and it's Cabecita who doesn't get called up, but Brian is. I mean, it could be a reality.
When they have the ball.
100%. Any more club news updates in regards to that? I think I only have that, the Araujo thing. Chris, I don't know if you've seen anything different.
That said it's up for 2 weeks also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I talked about that a little bit. Yeah, because it's up for 2 weeks.
That one stings a little bit more because now you look at the center back room and it's Emilio Lara, and I was reading I think Luis Fuentes is ahead of him as an emergency DB, so that's kind of scary, you know?
Yeah. But
hopefully God is in our side.
How's Reyes doing?
I don't know. He didn't say anything about Reyes. Did he?
I think he's out for another week.
Another week?
I think that's what the prognosis is on him. So I think they expect Cáceres and Reyes to kind of line up a little bit in the return dates. So we'll see that. But yeah, you're right. Defensively speaking, center back, you know, the one place we didn't think we had depth, somehow we managed to scrape up two more defenders and might be potentially our best center back partnership. Yeah, it definitely is at this point. Oh my goodness. But yeah, we'll keep you guys updated on that. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast, and we'll bring you guys all coverage with the updates on how everyone is doing. Rick saying, bad thing is we're down only two real center backs. As bad as Araujo has been, we don't got anyone else if Ramon or Igor go out. And I think you guys mentioned Lara, but it sounds like, you know, Fuentes might be higher in that pecking order.
And almost conceded a goal for us.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah, I know.
God,
it's scary.
That looks bad on him. That looks bad.
So I don't know, man. That boy's got to step it up somehow because it's not looking good. Point. Yeah, I mean, you saw the wonders it did for Juarez.
He can't play for the youth academy anymore. He can't be called up to those.
I think he can.
Playing him? They should really like just consider him. I know we don't have the. We're talking about depth, right? But I'd rather, like, if there's someone else there that's going to give us the same type of game, just do a swap and just let him get the... Because all you hear is people say, like, how in love they are with the talent. And I'm not going to sit here and say there's no talent, but we've seen it, right? It's like me and AJ were saying before the podcast, like, it's just a mature thing. And alone would be perfect. We saw Ivan's boy, Cordova, when he went to Necaxa, right? Or even right now. Or Ramon Juarez, right? Like, they could be good for them. Like, I'm not against the loan, but I think if he's that bad, you could look at him against the youth, right? If he's really bad there, then maybe that talent was just fluke. Who knows?
Damn, Chris. I really want Mal Reyes to debut at one point during the season.
Yeah, we loaned him out.
Oh, yeah, I know, dude. I'm just saying, oh, man. I really hope the coaching staff takes a look at him and is like, damn, that's our left back solution right there. That's
so good.
I really don't want to spend on another youngster somewhere else, right? Like Omar Campos just seems kind of like it's a cool signing, but then you look at the academy players and you're just like, look, if we're gonna
that could be our cool signing too, you know?
Right. Yeah, like if you look at the academy players at the same age, they when they given the chance, they've kind of given those type of games. Maybe just try them out a couple games, and if they suck, well, the window's open. Let's say, you know, if it were to be right. open in the beginning of
all part that. Of me hopes that the reason why they loaned out Maurice is to get him kind of in tune to hopefully maybe consider him for next season, even as a backup. But that's what.
And hey, we'll keep our fingers and toes crossed for that, because it would actually be ideal, because you save yourself some money in the long run, but potentially could find yourself a gem in that spot, which we desperately been needing. So I think that's it. That does it for club news. I don't really have anything else here, but America actually traveled to Querétaro today.
They did.
Via bus, as you guys, those who aren't too familiar with the geography of Mexico, it's about like, I want to say four hours drive.
Yeah.
A 4 hour drive?
Yeah.
That's not bad. They're in their nice Mercedes bus.
True. Yeah. That bus is nice.
It is. It's really, really nice. And might as well just start talking about the game, because Crew Epidemics is saying, does Henry start against Querétaro with Quiñones? And I want to bring up the question as well. Is it, hold on, wait. I'm being thrown off by this. Ricardo saying, it's like if America played with MAGA hats during the game. She was more scared. Freaking Ricardo. Alrighty then. Let me go back to my question. Is this a game to experiment, because you're potentially facing off against a lower side? Or is this another situation where don't move anything? It worked out perfectly against Chivas. Let's keep building that momentum.
It's tough. Part of me is saying that, you know, equipo gana repite. But then again, we have a really tough game on Sunday. And, you know, I think it'd be a perfect chance to kind of maybe rest one or two players. But then again, if we win this game, we're first place, right? I think we all want to just secure that first place by heading into the weekend. So play your best line. But then you have players like Diego Valdez and Quiñones and Fidalgo who need rest time. So I think there might be a perfect opportunity to kind of maybe start doing a recharge on that. You know, maybe put in Henry for like 50 minutes. Cabecita, maybe even. Sendejas, get him to start, you know. It's a good thing we have options. So I think we'll see a mixed lineup. But I think that we'll probably start a lot more of what we saw Saturday than maybe just completely do a makeshift line.
Okay. AJ?
Yeah, I agree. Because remember, after Toluca, it's on. That's Capitalino against Pumas. Yeah. So it's one of those things like for Toluca, put your best lineup on there, because that's mostly the team that we're going to be seeing against Pumas. So it'd be nice for every player to get some game time against Querétaro. I would love to, especially want to maybe experiment for a bit, because something like Christian mentioned, we got just to get in first place. We kind of would love to be in first place right now, but it wouldn't hurt to get some of the players maybe been like Alpha Selling, like your Henry Martin, your Cabecita Rodriguez. Give him some minutes time to get stuff accumulated, get those back.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I think we need to see a mixture of players. I think if this is the game that if he wants to experiment, like I don't have an issue with. I think Henry Martin, I don't think he starts. I think we shouldn't start. I think we need to. One thing I hate about coaches is that they rush players, right? And I don't think Jardine is that type. I think that's the worst thing that you could do, especially when you're starting to see a pattern of injuries. I think you got to give Quiñones. And plus, we talk about playing Quiñones with Henry. That would probably bench Brian Rodriguez, and do you really want that right now? Like, I don't know if you want to do that. And if Henry gets hurt again, we're going to be in a very weird situation. So for me, you know, I think we see a mixture, but we don't see Henry start. I think he comes in second half, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes at least. But there's a question I want to ask you guys, because I forgot who was here. I don't think AJ was here, but I think Christian and Ivan were. Do you guys remember after the Cruz Azul game, I asked you guys about points in September. So we won the game against
Cruz Azul. I was just thinking about that, too.
We won against Cruz Azul and we won against Chivas. Now we got Querétaro, Toluca, Pumas for the rest of this month. I don't know what you guys said, but you guys were very, like, you guys weren't very positive. You're just kind of like, oh, that's a tough road. I don't know if we could get the points with the way we're playing. Now, after those two games, how do you guys feel? And what is your prediction now?
To be honest, I kind of forgot my prediction.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the prediction, too.
I remember mine. So
I think they said something around like 11 or 12 points, maybe. Something around there, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think me and Christian kind of landed towards the middle ground of like, okay,
So I'll say this much. I think I'm still in the same tone as this. I don't know, because even after impressive win like that, I still think we're a big if. Because it's if Igor continues to play this. It's if Ramon Juarez continues to play this. It's if Brian Rodriguez can continue this form. If Diego Valdez can be our number 10. If Julián Quiñones can rise up to be that Quiñones that we all want. If Henry Martin comes back to be Henry Martin. You know what I'm saying? So I think we still need a couple more games to kind of really figure out what we're going to do for the rest of the season. But I think it's to answer your question. I think I would answer yes. I am a little bit more optimistic, but I'm still trying to tread water still, because I still think we're a big.
Yeah, I think Christian puts it perfectly there, right? We're still in the point of the season where we need to turn ifs into certainties. And I think once we get to that point, then, you know, I think all of us will feel like we're in a better situation. But I think, like I was mentioning, me and Christian landed towards, I think, the middle ground of like 10, 13 points, somewhere around there. And ideally, obviously, 15 was what we wanted. But I still think that, you know, this Querétaro game low-key worries me a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you, because it's Querétaro away on the road. It's one of those games that you just know that for some reason America ends up playing ugly. And sometimes, you know, we don't get the best results playing ugly. And so, you know, we're susceptible for a draw. Let's be honest, you know. That's why I said it's important to kind of ride the wave. So I'm still sticking in that middle ground, but of course, they just basically picking off what Christian said, a lot more optimistic.
So, but does the way you look at the opponent, like, I know you just said Querétaro, but what about Toluca or Pumas? Like,
yeah, I'm still the same way. I'm still iffy about them. Pumas is playing really well. They just had a great comeback win against San Luis.
And San Luis is number one right now.
Right. And so right. To me, it just shows that they're gaining confidence, they're gaining character. But that's always tough to go against. And obviously, the Clásico too, right? So you never want to go into those thinking that you already have the win. And then Toluca is very high scoring as well. So that'll be a good test for our defense. Like I said, if Igor can continue to play, if Ramon Juarez can continue to be stellar. So I think I look at the games the same. I still think they're going to be three very, very hard opponents to kind of overcome.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% on that, because it's one of those things, right? Toluca away, another one of those difficult games where America always finds a way to complicate their life. And, a Clásico versus Pumas, it's sometimes up in the air, right? I think that one's a little bit more in the air than when we play against Cruz Azul and when we play against Chivas. So we'll see what happens. Of course, we're optimistic either way, but again, we'll see what the case is. Now, I kind of want to backtrack a little bit to what we were talking about in regards to you guys wanting to alternate a little bit. And Chris, I think you mentioned, right, if this is the game that he wants to experiment, then so be it. I don't want that to be the case, because remember the last time we won 4-0 and we let the manager experiment? What happened against Columbus? Not end well. Okay?
Yeah.
So maybe we continue that, start the same starting 11, give them 60 minutes, and then, you know, you have 5 substitutions. Use them wisely, use them smartly, manage the game how it's going, and then give some of these players, like your Valdeses, like your Fidalgos, a break.
I would like to repeat the lineup, and then, like, around 50, 55, just then start your makeshift
stuff. Yeah.
At that, in this game, type of game, I'll allow it. It's just because it's mid-game, tough game on Sunday, and obviously some players need rest. So hopefully by that time, we should have the game pretty much sealed up. And obviously, no, we'll see what happens. But it's one of those games where I think you're okay with it. You'll allow it. It's just for the pure sense of resting. We need to make sure we're
100%. No, I agree. There's, rotations that have to be made and all that stuff. I just think that just don't want to repeat a Columbus. That's it, really. I know. that's my biggest worry.
It's and good weather, too, from what I'm reading, Querétaro, so we don't have to worry about rain or anything. If it was raining and you kind of try to avoid injuries, I guess, you know, then I would disagree with you guys, but I get it. You know, I get it. You don't want to go and kill momentum and then you go into Toluca where it's a very hostile stadium. They hate us. I don't know if you guys seen the video on TikTok where they're interviewing Toluca fans and they're saying, who do you guys like to beat the most? And there, most of them, like, there's some people that say Pumas, but for the most part, it's all America.
Yeah.
And I remember the
feud we had with them in the 2000s. Like, it's forgotten now.
Yeah.
But that game used to be something, bro. And, you know, and
they used to own it for a while. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah. They would destroy us.
Yeah. I mean, one of their best goals from their most decorated player came against us, right? That goal Cardoso scored.
I see that video almost every year, brother. They're in like the most random soccer page posted to.
Yeah, no, and like I said, that stadium never been nice to us anyway. So it's always a challenge when we go there.
Yeah. Been there, I mean, we'll witnessed see. It, and we lost. So yeah, lost 3-2.
He's just like, I know what I'm talking about. It's not nice.
I have experienced it. So,
yeah, yeah, so gotta make sure we're close to 100% as possible.
No, yeah. So that's why I'm a little bit cautious to rotate. But I mean, I won't be up in arms. I understand the bigger road ahead, right? And the importance of keeping everyone fresh. And I know they monitor these players with the latest technology and yada, yada, yada. But I just don't want to kill the momentum. And I definitely don't want to see a repeat of the game against Columbus because you guys mentioned it, right? We win against Querétaro. We stay first place. And who would have thought that? And that's what I was looking at the table. I was like, who would have thought with this game in hand, we sit first place. Like with the way we were playing, all the criticism, with everything that we were throwing at Jardine, could easily be sitting at the top. Christian, you're muted.
Oh, it's games like this that'll get you that first place spot.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You know?
And as easy as it is to get first place, it's as easy to not get it and finish third or fourth.
Exactly. So this is important, if not crucial, you know? So
want to know the funny thing about us being potentially first is that our first loss was against Juarez and they're second. Now looking at it now, it's like, okay, we, even though it was like, I was in Mexico mad at the whole subbing in all the youngsters. The youngsters that won.
You
know, but looking at it now, like, we didn't lose to a bad team, so, and we're going to be ahead of them. So, oh, I don't know. It's a weird season. You know, so far it's very weird. On paper, stuff doesn't look like the field, but I guess that isn't bad if what matters is the result, right?
Yeah, like we talked about in previous episodes. And then, of course, ultimately building momentum for Liguilla, which is what matters. And like I said, let the Chivas game be the catalyst and kind of ride it through into Liguilla. That's going to be an important part. So we'll see what happens. But okay, gentlemen, let's talk predictions here before we wrap it up here. So talk to me. AJ, what is your prediction for Wednesday's match against Querétaro?
Honestly, it's going to be a scrappy 1-0. Just something about this against like Querétaro. I just feel we're going to have to like fight so hard just to get that one goal. Even though Keto like not playing like the greatest of football like right now, I just know they're just gonna give it the ball, especially when it's an away game at the Corregidora. So I'll go with that. 1-1 for America.
1-0 for America. Hey, I'll be happy with that. I'll take a scrappy win in this situation. Like I get it, we showcased out against Chivas and all of us wanna see that, especially AP Junior, because he's saying that he's not convinced with Jardine. Only if goleamos again next game, it's still fuera baño, fuera bathroom. So, but I understand that everyone wants to see another 4-5-0 against Querétaro, right? Because on paper, right, we should be demolishing them. We just know that that's not going to be the case. So I'll take a scrappy win, AJ. I definitely will. Christian, what's your prediction?
I'm going a little bit scrappy too. I think we win 2-1.
2-1. All right. Looks like Igor and Juarez aren't able to keep up that clean sheet. Unfortunate. But hey, might be Igor scoring the winner. So we'll see. All righty then. Chris?
1-0 as well. It's funny how we view this game compared to Chivas, right?
I just think more of it. I think we all understand what tomorrow is going to be like. So, I mean, I hope we're wrong. I said, it's another 4-0, which would be amazing. But it's just like we've seen this too often.
I won't be honest with you. And I call this the Ivan and Tapia Clásico for funny reasons. But I had, whenever we face like a Canterano or a next player, they show out. And if he starts, I just see some like crazy saves and I see like America going off saying, oh, why would we stab Oscar when this guy's like so good and all that? And I just think it's going to be one of those games where the goalkeeper shows out and they're going to go after Ivan in the group chat.
It's either him or Alisson starting in goal. It's one of those two. It's one or the other.
Look, we'll see. Hopefully it is him. I kind of want him to show his true colors and for all of you guys to be like, you know what, Ivan? You were right again. So we'll see what happens. But, okay. Another scrappy win there for Chris. Let me give a couple of... let me see. Ricardo had given his prediction here. He said that America was going to steamroll past Querétaro and win 3-1, right? Rick saying 2-0. Crew Epicness saying 2-1. And AP Jr. saying, depends if Igor and Juarez starts with 0 Layun, we're winning it 3-1. I don't know what the result's going to be with a Layun, so I'm a little scared to ask. But okay. I'm going... I mean, dare I say it? I said it against Chivas and it worked. So I'm going 3-0 for this one as well. I think we can do it again. We can go out there, showcase, score some goals. I know I'm being delusional, but hey, sometimes you got to drink the Kool-Aid.
You're acting like me when I first joined the podcast. Get 3-0 yeah, every
time. One of us has to be the ludicrous one here. Down for it, though. Yeah, no, of course. You got to speak it into existence in that sense. So. I'm going 3-0. Look, ultimately, we'll have to wait to see what happens, right? Less than 24 hours away from kickoff. So we'll keep you guys up to date with everything over on our Twitter. So at Eagle Eye Podcast. It should be a good one. And yeah. Anything else to add on, gentlemen, before we wrap it up here?
No, I think I've said everything I wanted to say. Just always a great time chatting it up with you boys about Copa America. And hopefully we get the win.
And they're always a little bit better whenever we beat Chivas, huh?
Always nice.
Ideally, definitely ideal. AJ, Chris, anything else to add on?
King Son Chivas, as Joss would say, and Cascuevas said, "De Seca, King Son Chivas." I don't know who they
are. I like it, Chris.
Oh no, nothing, man. I was gonna bring up that exactly how we won back to back. You know, that's perfect, bro. That's way to.
That's the perfect America weekend.
But damn, did they frustrate me.
I was talking crap to all my Chivas friends. And I told them, bro, we beat you guys both ended. Like, you guys suck at everything.
It was a great weekend for us. America Varonil won, America Femenil won, Nestor Araujo out 7 months. You can't get better than this, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll just say this much. Thank you guys for coming out. This was great. This was fun. We'll talk more America later on during the week. If not, then next week, of course. And then just keep an eye out on all our social media platforms. We'll keep you guys up to date with that sense. With that said, thank you so much to Ricardo, to Rick, to Epicness, to AP Jr., to Brian. I know you were listening to this. Dylan, everyone, thank you so much for coming out, joining us, and then being part of the live show too. A lot more fun when all of you guys interact. So thank you again. And to all of you guys listening on any podcast platform, thank you again for subscribing. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Alrighty, guys. You guys take care. Be safe. And as always, arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen. Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.